empathy just increase across the board, whether it's through companies, through individuals, etc. And I feel like in order to be a really good marketing procurement leader, you need to kind of be well-rounded.
Majid Fahmy, homegrown marketing procurement leader who turned president of a global business. Marketing procurement has gone mainstream but remains uncharted, misunderstood, and sometimes undervalued. So this podcast aims at better codifying marketing procurement. Welcome on the Marketing Procurement Podcast. Today, I have the pleasure to have as a guest Christine Moore, who's firm's decision managing director, North America, and who agreed to come and share with us a bit of her experience around interacting with marketing procurement. Hello, Christine.
Bonjour. How are you?
Bonjour. Good, good. And you? We will have the episode in English, even though I'm sure that French will make for a great episode at some point.
It probably would, yeah.
What I would love to start with is giving you the opportunity to introduce yourself and share a bit about yourself and your background with our audience.
Sure. I've pretty much spent most of my working life post-MBA in the procurement space, both direct and indirect. And I have done that both on the client side, consulting side, and agency side. So that kind of gives you a good background of my kind of professional life. In terms of where I come from, I'm a homegrown Swede. I've been told I have an accent, and I spent my high school years in Luxembourg, thus the French, and my college years in Denmark. And I'm not going to refer what I learned in Denmark. And in general, I've developed a very kind of curiosity mindset. I've also become very resourceful in my life because I've had to kind of adapt to new situations and solve things. I love collaboration in all its forms. A good kind of brainstorm session, it's great. I love it. And it's not very common for financial, procurement, analytical people to like that, but I've kind of managed to massage both sides of my brain there. Something a lot of people don't know about me is that I have huge empathy. It's kind of come out a lot during COVID. I've done a lot of volunteering and helping out. And that's really been like a new area of my life, which has really developed a much more 360 personality. I love to run. I love kickboxing. And this will tell you a lot about myself. I have not been able to adopt yoga or meditation. And I probably tried for at least 5 seconds. So that tells you a lot about my personality. I like being on the move, having things happen and learning new things and helping people get better at whatever it is that we do together.
Excellent. Thank you very much for sharing all of that wonderful background. What I would love to hear your thought about is, in terms of your background, interacting with marketing procurement, which is the core of our audience, together with agencies and the broader marketing family. How would you describe your interaction and the path that led you there?
So I started, so post-MBA, before that I was in banking, and like everybody else, I wanted to move into something else. So I joined a consulting company that was very focused on procurement, helping global clients work out their direct side spend. So doing spend analysis, you know, the usual kind of procurement stuff. And what we did was a lot of pricing validation of vendors. So we would go out to the factories and find variances in pricing versus actual production cost. And then we would actually help the client negotiate a reduction, whether it was in pricing, increase in value, shorter payment terms, et cetera, to really increase the value for the client side to deliver that. And it was very fact-based. You know, you could count how many people is on a production line, et cetera. So I learned procurement there. From there, I joined PepsiCo, so on the client side, which was one of our clients, and it was in marketing procurement group. And so the first role I got was, where I managed to interview for and be awarded to, was the U.S. creative agencies. So I managed that entire thing, and I had never bought marketing in my life.
Yes.
I kind of enjoyed advertising on TV type thing, right?
Yeah.
So it was certainly not a planned move. And I remember telling them that, like, hey, do you know I've never done this job? And they kind of didn't comment on it, luckily for me, because I loved it. But so my first project was to lead a benchmarking study of fees across all the agencies that I was responsible for. And we had an outside consultant and et cetera. And this was, I thought, very much up my alley because finding price differences and negotiate it for me was quite easy. And I remember getting the results. And the main argument of my story was, hey, we found that other clients pay less for similar services. So why don't you just lower my fees? And coming from direct into indirect and marketing specifically, that argument is a very hard argument to make, in my opinion.
Yep.
But the project was extremely successful. We did get the rates down. And I've thought about, you know, how come that was, but this was in 2008. So procurement wasn't really that common. I came with the logo of PepsiCo on my back,
yep.
Called it $1 billion spend. So no agency probably wanted to take the fight. And they had an internal discussion and probably agreed, hey, let's just take a haircut here and be done with it. So I thought that was very interesting in terms of learning how procurement worked. And once I'd finished that project, because I had so much global experience, I was moved over to the non-US business, which was about $500 million. And I was so surprised of the level of collaboration within that field. The marketing people invited me in as coming from procurement, you know, the minute they wanted to do something with a new agency or change their relationship, the agencies weren't involved all the time. So it was really such a different work environment. And because we all realized, you know, everybody kind of brought something to the table and we had to work together to find a workable solution,
yep.
Whether it was price or quality, value, innovation, whatever the goals were, right? And that was really the most fun I'd had in marketing procurement because I was considered a peer of the group, not an afterthought. And that was very kind of important to me.
One thing that I like to drill down on, let's start there because it's the case for many members in the marketing procurement community. They come just like you and I from the direct space. So
yeah.
Very organized from factory to creative agency. There is a universe. So I'd love you to share a bit more of your first impression when you had this first experience moving from one world to the other and maybe your key learnings or takeaway from that shift.
I remember when I interviewed at Pepsi for this role, I kept saying, you know it's indirect. I come from direct, but here's 82 reasons why direct and indirect are similar.
Yes.
And nobody really bought it, which was quite interesting at the time. Maybe I should have listened then, you know, I wouldn't be here. But I still am of the beliefs that a lot of the procurement process, the tools, the guidance, the analytics, the thought process, all of that is similar on the direct side and works on the indirect side.
Absolutely.
It is true. And that aside, you're not buying commodities, but there's a lot of direct spend that is not commodities either. And it's not always based on volume. So I do think there's a lot of this learnings that are transferable. I think with marketing, it's such a complex world. And we're making it more complex. Everybody's trying to fight for the new dollars that come into the marketing within different media, different types of agencies, MarTech, whatever it is. So there's a big learning on the business side, on the marketing side, which I'm not sure there is if you're buying, let's call it widgets, just to be very kind of stereotypical, or oil or plastic or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you look at the number of cost drivers, they're similar. There's different kind of prioritization of the cost drivers and et cetera. But I do think we're not allowing the direct procurement folks to actually utilize a lot of their skills because they're seen as not right for the marketing procurement. And I'm not necessarily a signatory to that.
And the other way around, it makes total sense. Now, it's maybe a side comment, but throughout my own experience managing marketing and broadly indirect procurement organization or creating some of them, one of the challenge that is always there after 15 plus years of existence of marketing procurement is the discussion between where do we get the skill sets? Do direct procurement folks are fit for indirect / marketing procurement roles and the other way around? Now, I'd love to touch on one thing that you shared, Kami, in your introduction, the concept of empathy.
Yes.
And I think there is something there that we can dig together because the marriage between the science, the structure that direct gives you, plus a bit of the magic, empathy, understanding feelings, managing relationship is really what matters to be managing successfully a marketing procurement organization and the agency. What are your thoughts on that?
So I've been thinking about this, and especially during COVID, I think we've seen empathy just increase across the board, whether it's through companies, through individuals, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in order to be a really good marketing procurement leader, you need to kind of be well-rounded. So if you look at the CFO profession, if you will, they used to be tactical cost management folks, right? Mm-hmm. And the profession has moved much more to the strategic CFO valuable now, and they're much more sought after in the market. And I think procurement has the same thing. You need to really go from just the standard procurement approaches and bring in what is it that makes everybody feel like a winner in this relationship? What can we all drive to create value, which mm-hmm. price is part of a value, but it's not the only value. So I think that's really where you can see a lot of impact from the procurement folks to kind of use their empathy to create win-win situations, not only think of their own goals. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to create a long-term sustainable partnership, right? You don't want to change agencies every year or marketing partners every year. You want to be able to work with them, establish a good relationship and partnership and work within that. You don't necessarily want to just move on and try to beat price. I mean, we know a lot of clients have tried that and it didn't really work out that well for a long time.
Absolutely. And the cost of change is actually huge. So with your background in mind, can you please now share a bit more about your current relationship with the marketing procurement discipline?
Sure. So actually, I was looking for a role where I could really use all of my background. So call it marketing procurement, agency side finance, and agency operations. And I looked at kind of going pure play in a couple of them. And I was told I wasn't good enough in procurement. And in finance, I probably could have been good enough. And operations doesn't really interest me. So I was looking for a role where I really wanted to combine all that.
Yeah.
And with firm decisions, it's really an area where you act as a middleman, call it, to really help the client side marketing procurement deliver and make sure that the corporate governance and the good governance within a relationship is held up. So now my clients are pretty much all marketing procurement, I would say. There's some finance divisions. It's a very interesting space to be advising clients on how to make sure they get the best out of their relationship with their agencies. So right now, I think it's a great relationship. It's very insightful to me. And I think so far, I've been managing to bring a lot of much more well-rounded conversations as opposed to, hey, I want to audit this company or this agency because I think there's something going on.
I know from decision from past experiences, I'm sure many of the procurement folks or marketing folks know the company, but would you mind just sharing at a high level what does firm decision do and the type of client relationship you have?
Sure. So we are a marketing audit compliance firm. So we help our clients ensure that their contractual obligations on both sides are met and delivered by the agencies they use, be it in media, creative, PR, experiential, field force, etc. So we really go in and look at what the contract asks of the agency. And then we go through the different areas and make sure that those deliveries have been met by the agency. Mm-hmm. And we work with pretty much 70% of the top 100 advertisers around the globe. What I've noticed is that we actually don't do all only big companies. We do a lot of smaller companies with much more diverse marketing spend. So even though the media audits and media relationships are the big ticket items, there's a lot to be said, including good governance, as I call it, within the other categories of your agency spend as well. And we're a global company. We have offices in 14 markets with full-time staff, mostly auditors and finance accounting educated staff.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. What I'd love you to share now is, based on those client and companies that you advise, how does the interface with marketing procurement operates and all the broader marketing spend? So can you speak a bit about the recurrent topics that come, their concerns, the priorities, the challenge that you hear most often?
So we get a lot of questions right now about what should we do about 2020, right? So it was a year of, complete panic for good reasons, changes. You know, you had media plans that had been very deliberately planned out. There was a whole upfront in the beginning, all of those things where most of the things just fell to the wayside. Clients had to move spend from normal advertising plans to others, et cetera. So coming back to empathy, a lot of people feel like maybe we shouldn't rock the boat right now. And I think what we've heard is that, and when we talk to clients is, what you need to do, you know, all of us have contracts in place. We don't put contracts in place for the good times. Contracts go into place for the times where we really are not sure what is guiding the relationship, like a crisis, et cetera. And I think there were so many changes done within, you know, you may have lowered your staff with the agency, the media spend went away, the media spend was directed elsewhere. Are you sure your media actually got aired? Was it at the right pricing, et cetera? So I think there's a lot to look into for 2020. Now, do you have to make it about, I am going to pinch every penny out of a relationship that I have? Not at all. It's all about having good governance, as I keep talking about. It's really, do we all follow the law, which is the contract? Are we responsive to trying to find solutions? Are we held accountable for what we've said we're going to do, or the new changes that we've done? Are we accountable for those? Have they been written down for other people coming after us? Are there transparency in all of this, et cetera? So it really comes back to this full relationship. It's not all about, I think the agency did something wrong, so let's nail somebody. It's not at all about that. It's really about ensuring the relationship is good in all the, call it the admin areas, so that we can all focusing on doing great marketing, which both agency and the client wants, right? So we're hearing a lot on that. That's kind of the main thing. And also a lot of new auditing clients think a bit more of as a one-off, where, again, coming back to the good governance, you really want to have it go so that in the beginning of a relationship, you can sort out issues that aren't really following the process expected by the client or how the agent would work things. And going forward, you make sure blips don't happen. Client-side personnel, agency-side personnel change all the time. If you have that current kind of check-in with each other, it's all good. And then you can focus on the real stuff that is important and that makes a good, sustainable relationship.
Excellent. You touch on a lot, again, a very important point. And the bulk of our audience is both actually agency side and marketing procurement and marketing folks. So I just love to pause and maybe deep dive a bit on the concept of relationship post-crisis, because right now it's the perfect time where going to the easy wrong, which would be dark room, everybody hides behind contract and goes into very positional discussion of who to blame and who did not deliver and why we did not receive what was part of the contract and the scope of work. What would you share in terms of potential pitfall or advice for both agency and client side to consider as they want to go and strengthen their relationship and going out of COVID period, even strengthen it to deliver bigger and better business results?
Everybody knows there's been a crisis, obviously, and I don't feel like this is the time to bring out your contract and said this is your fault. I don't think any company is looking for who to blame. We're way too busy sorting out what does 2021 look like? Can it become a normal year? And financials, looking at it from a financial perspective, nobody is going to come and say, oh, you know, you didn't meet your operating target because COVID hit. Now, they're going to say, if you missed the target by a huge amount, you should have done something. But I think most companies are giving credit both to their agencies and to their own staff that we did what we could as we learned about what was happening. I think it's going to be much more important to take a step forward and learn together what happened. What can we take out of this? Is my marketing plan or my entire marketing strategy now going back to as it was before 2020? Did we really catapult the online retailer experience and now we're kind of never going to go back to the whole retail store concept? And so I think it's much more important to come together on the strategic issues, which will also forge much stronger relationship as opposed to hide behind the scene of, oh, the agency saved money here. Or if you look at their holding company financial reports, some of them saved more money than they actually lost in revenue, et cetera. So you can totally go into the blame game, but I don't think anybody's going to gain from that. And adding on the empathy that we're seeing much more increased levels of, I think that's, in the past, it was bad to be tactical. Now it's going to be very counterproductive to be very tactical in that sense, if that makes sense.
It does make total sense. I just wish that what you shared is what is going to happen. Mm. Because again, we're talking about human behavior and coming out of a crisis with heightened financial stress on the P&L for everybody, sluggish economic environment, and so on. My call to action for the marketing procurement folks that listen to the podcast is really help steward the right behavior. Short-term tactical recovery of savings or money is one thing, and that might help, but that can be very counterproductive, specifically in the agency world, where you really need to foster a long-term relationship. So just keep that in mind. Everybody has different business dynamic, operates in different industry, but that's just an advice that I would give to specifically the marketing procurement community.
Yeah. And to build on that, I would say it's really about having the business mind in this time that we're finding ourselves in to deliver on all company goals. P&L is a strong company goal for most people. That's why we're mostly in business for everybody, but it's easy to be penny wise and pound foolish. And you really don't want to shoot yourself in the foot now. And procurement needs to think a little bit more of the long game. Like you said, it's not about banking the buck this year. It's about playing the long game. The agencies are not dispensable. They're going to have a ton of changing on their side too. And I hope that most sides like you will come out on top of it in a better shape and form and doing better business. So that's kind of what we have to do, I think.
So on the core capabilities of firm decisions, what are actually the key areas, if you can share at a high level, that clients and or agencies are looking at in terms of contract auditing or really tracking what happened during COVID and making it better post-COVID?
Yeah, so what we've found, for example, is that a lot of client contracts are evergreens. And we've all heard this on the marketing procurement. You have the evergreen, and then that changes when you pitch your business, usually, right? And then you've got the scope of work that changes every year. And I mean, when I was at Pepsi, we were an Omnicom shop for a long time. So that MSA didn't really change, right? And I think it's been neglected to update the MSAs, the master service agreements, during a continual relationship, because all the important clauses and all the kind of changing in agency dynamics are regulated in the MSA. So if you don't change that, even thinking when a lot of clients now went from, you know, being high on TV and maybe moving a lot of it into digital. Now, if you don't have an up-to-date MSA, your digital spend is pretty much gone. You have no idea what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And traditionally, it's been an area of new business revenues for agencies, and the ecosystem hasn't really figured out where all the real costs are versus what you're paying is. So I think those things is really looking at your MSA on a more regular basis. And obviously, it's not going to sort out 2020 because it's been in place for 2020. But just going forward, you will learn that the MSA should be a lot more dynamic than what it has currently been.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of fees, for example, a lot of fees have a upside block.
Yep.
So you can only charge up to a certain amount, but the downside is reconcilable. So for example, with a lot of spend now that shifted or decreased, you can probably ask for a lot of money back, but is that really helpful? Because you were also taking up a lot of people time from the agencies working on other business that you were trying to move forward, and it wasn't in the same timeline. So there was more people on the account. So I think those areas are things I would look into in the US market, and internationally, there's a little bit more on how much of the annual volume benefits that have happened around the world, because most of them are set on volume, as the name indicates.
Mm-hmm.
Have those been renegotiated? Should the clients have the right to get them back still? The contract says yes. So there's a lot of areas that are discussable, and the client needs to really look into which ones are important. And the best way to do that is really to do an audit or an inventory of what is the status, and then together you can decide how you want to move forward. So I think information is knowledge, not power, but gives you the background and the information in order to decide your next steps. Just making them based on guidance or ideas is not good. So I think having the information before you make decisions is important.
Very helpful and insightful. Thank you. What I'd like to touch on now is you mentioned several times the concept of good governance. Mm. So if we put it back in the lens of marketing procurement skill set, how would you describe the ideal marketing procurement leader?
I almost see it as almost like the multiple dual degree type person, because especially in marketing, it comes so much business sense into it, because all the marketing goals are driving sales, increasing brand value, etc. And if you just think about it as procurement, you miss out on a lot of those other KPIs that are very important to your organization. Mm-hmm. It's really having that bigger picture, seeing there's the value, which we talked about before, but it's not only cost. It's not only about the P&L. It's about canceling out the noise in the system between marketing, procurement, and agencies to be able to just work on what all sides knows the best, right? So We don't have to talk about the transparency. We don't have to talk about whether we follow the contract, because we do, right? That's kind of put aside. So we can focus on what's our real target audience? How can we get better data and analytics? How can we do all this, knowing that we're all going to be responsive and transparent together because we have a contract that regulates it, so that we don't have to worry that Paul's going to steal to pay Peter, etc. So that's really important for a procurement leader. I think it's important to show the value to marketing, to be invited early. I think these days procurement is seen as a major partner, but I also know that in the past, procurement was always an afterthought. It's like, oh, we need to sign this contract. We need procurement approval. And then procurement got thrown in. And I think being part of the process in the beginning, when you decide to go to a pitch or something, is important. There's a lot of information procurement doesn't necessarily need, but hearing the full story is going to make them such a better, valuable player on the team that it's worth investing a couple of hours of listening to marketing and seeing a nice, flashy presentation. So The whole well-rounded understanding business and driving value and helping to clean out the noise, like I said, the elementary things that should happen because we sign a contract, and that's kind of what we do when we sign a contract, right?
Very, very clear. Thank you. You describe on the position of procurement maybe a decade or plus ago, which was coming as an afterthought after the discussion between marketing and their agency partner, for example. So you've been seeing the evolution from this point in time to date. What I'd love to pick your thoughts on is, what do you see as being next for marketing procurement? 10 years forward, where do you think the function ought to be or will be?
I think marketing procurement should sit and live with marketing, almost like finance marketing or lives in that space, right? What I did, and I don't know where I got this from when I was at Pepsi, but we had separate offices. Procurement was up in one location and all the marketing sat down in the headquarters in Purchase. Mm-hmm. So I convinced my procurement boss that 3 days a week, I should sit down with the international marketing team in Purchase, New York. And just because, and it sounds so simple, because I could drop by their office, I could run into them in the food area, I could grab a coffee with them. It was just such an informal connection that they would come up with projects and ideas and be like, oh, why don't you come along? So it's almost like trying to become a member of the marketing team, just like you're trying to become a member at your college or high school or whatever. And it takes effort, but we are playing in their field, right? When they see you as a valuable player, whether it's marketing insight, it's knowing people from the A&A conferences, it's bringing back research and information and articles from what you hear in your network, it is all important for the marketing and for the agency. And I think bringing that to the table, as opposed to being more of the policing afterthought, is going to catapult marketing procurement into right and center. And I think that's where we will be 10 years from now, because the ecosystem is getting so complex that it's very hard to understand the entire machine.
So I'm going to ask you a very challenging question for the end, but it is just a way to open thoughts for the audience. If you think about the future of marketing procurement, and I will make an extension of agency partners in the ecosystem, how do you see it? Is that an obsolete, bright future or anything in between?
I think it's bright for the right people. I think the changing ecosystem, which has been catapulted because of COVID, will see a shakeout. Some people may not have the interest to actually become really strong marketing procurement versus very strong indirect procurement. But the people that stay will be the ones that kind of operate with the two sides of the brain, if you will. They will be good at marketing. They will be curious about the new trends, the new inventions, the new ways of making money on the agency side. They'll be open to have relationships on, you know, transparent rules. And they will also be very good at procurement. So I think you're going to see a newer breed. There's a lot of them right now in the space that are either high up or kind of in the middle to senior level in procurement management that are going to be great leaders that are about to move into that kind of master puppeteer role where you really have the dual knowledge about both sides. And I think that's unique for marketing procurement from other procurement categories.
Thank you so much, Christine, for finishing on this optimistic note, but that is actually really realistic. So very happy to have you on the Marketing Procurement Podcast and really looking forward to the feedback or question or comments from our audience based on today's conversation. Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
Hey, Marketing Procurement family. Thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. If you like it, give it 5 stars on Apple Podcast. We have another great episode coming up next week, so remember to subscribe and feel free to invite others to join our marketing procurement community. Look forward to seeing you again next week. In the meantime, take care of yourself and take care of each other.